House of Grace, dein Podcast zu Hause für die großen und kleinen Fragen und Antworten des Lebens mit Sandra von Sapienski.
Nathaniel, do I pronounce it right, Nathaniel?
Nathaniel, yeah.
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Nathaniel, yeah.
I'm so happy to have you in my podcast because, you know, I studied so much the classical tantric texts, but you are such an expert in terms of neo-tantra. I know you don't like the term, but, yeah. Also sacred sexuality or how would you describe what you're doing? I mean, when we think really completely outside of the boxes, how would you describe what you are doing? Not using the terms tantra, neo-tantra, any definition, just how does it feel what you're doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that what I'm doing in my workshops and events mm-hmm. and online courses is just helping people gain bigger intimacy mm-hmm. and connection with themselves, with other people, and with life itself. So it's really... I would use these two words, intimacy and connection.
This is so beautiful. You know, this is a topic which is quite present for me in the moment, because I just figured out that we play so many roles to protect us from intimacy, especially also in sex life. I also discovered it with myself that I feel safer when there is, when there are like definitions, how I should behave or how should my partner should behave, that that I was not always open for seeing the whole being and allowing my partner to express himself. So and that this also puts a barrier between us, because you protect yourself with roles. Is this something you see often? Or would you agree? Or
yes, I think we all play roles both in life mm-hmm. and especially in our sexuality. And what I work with is really just helping people connecting and feeling more authentic mm-hmm. into where they are and what's alive in them right now. Either it's in life or in a connection with other, or if it's in sexual situations. And when it comes to sex, it's... our whole life is about performance and playing roles and trying to achieve stuff. And especially in sex, we just want to be met. We want to be held. We want to connect. Most people are not connecting really deep in sex because they're still in what you say. They're playing these roles of the masculine or feminine, or of achieving or of performing or of whatever else they might think is sexy or what you should do. So we all play roles or have these ideas or pictures, images in our mind, what we should be, what is a nice moment with another person, what's a sexy moment in sex. So we're all trying to play roles, play images. And what I try to talk about is really just dropping all these images and connecting to yourself and where you are right now. And maybe you feel empty, or maybe you feel sad, or maybe you feel super excited and super horny, or whatever you are, just making space. So it's all about just making space to what is, to what's alive in you. Mm-hmm. And that's the way to gain this intimacy and connection. It's by giving space for what is.
And how was your personal journey? How did you discover tantra? How was your first encountering? And
so I always been interested in spirituality and mm-hmm. had like a spiritual longing and a spiritual journey. I come from the advertising and television background. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with television and advertising, and that can be a shallow business to work
totally.
In.
I come from PR and also we worked a lot for the movie industry in Germany.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So then, you know, then yeah. We both come from very external focused businesses mm-hmm. that really values external achievement and values. So looking inwards, I try different stuff on my spirituality. And then I heard about Tantra or Neo Tantra. They don't call it Neo Tantra. We just, like everywhere, you just call it Tantra. But nevertheless, I went to this and I was very, I started my tantric journey was really, I was curious about the sex part, which I think sexuality part, which most people, you get intrigued. You're like, what? There is something called sacred sexuality or conscious sexuality. And you meet in a deeper connection. And most of us are very, very curious about sex. So that was a big draw in the sexual thing. And for me, it was mind-blowing, just really transformed how I thought about sex. And what made me stay was also in this, it was also very much about the connection with other people. And I said, wow, it's really, it's not just about the sex, it's really about connection. And when I continued, it really was a spiritual path, a spiritual journey, which gave me practical tools. And spiritual practice can be anything, right? Whatever you think is a spiritual practice, it can be for you personally. But for me, it really gave me accessible tools on how to practical tools. So Tantra really helped me have a spiritual journey in a practical sense. So it started with the longing and interest of sexual exploration, and it continued to be more of a connection and intimacy with myself and other people. And it really ended up being a spiritual like journey for me. And I think that's beautiful and it's interesting and it's really a good branding, because you draw in people with the sex interest and you take them out on a more spiritual level than they entered. Yes, and I think that's super nice, right?
Would you say that it has described this journey has changed you as a person? How have you been before?
Yes,
and how would you describe yourself now?
I think it changed me a lot. It really, on the main level, it really changed how I perceive intimacy, connection, and also sexuality.
Can you give like an example?
Yes, it's really gave me like the tools and the ideas of just, as I said, making space for whatever, that everything is allowed and everything's okay.
I mean, more like in terms of a concrete situation. Do you say concrete in English? That's
yeah
okay.
Yeah.
So that listeners have a real idea to make it more practical, you know, if you are comfortable to share a personal story.
Sexually Tantra changed how I perceive and interact with sex, and going from performance-based, trying to either get myself to orgasm or give myself pleasure or to give my partner pleasure, focusing really on performing pleasure to myself or to my partner. So Tantra really changed that for sex to be much more of an exploration of an intimate connection and moment between me and my lover, and just seeing, okay, where are you? Where am I? And not hunting, not chasing for this orgasm or performance or trying to see what's sexy, and seeing, for example, that sex can be any meeting. You can start crying and you can start stop having sex and just lie there, and suddenly it's not sex. Suddenly you're just like hugging or going to sleep or crying or just floating in and out from what's ever alive, and not have this performance-based mentality. Okay, now we're going to fuck and now it's all about sex. And it's like much more of a flowy, dancey, let life in, let's whatever throwing you in. So that in sexuality, that changed. I'm not chasing orgasm in the same way. I'm not performance-based. It's also changed in relationship.
Were you like before, were you like the regular guy on Tinder, hooking up several times?
Yes.
and chasing women and chasing orgasms, and now
yes,
that's
for
different.
Sure. Yes, for sure. I was a super regular guy and super chasing or orgasm like anything else. And when I counted Tantra and I practiced 1 year in Tantra, they talk about a lot semen retention, not ejaculating as a man, and saving your energy and stuff like this, elevating your energy for the chakras and blah, blah, blah. So I tried, for example, not to orgasm for a year. And one reason not to orgasm is the technical energy part, or how to lift and work with your energy. But the other part is just also really just to give you not chasing any orgasm, that you don't need to ejaculate. And just this is usually like a major thing for men, because our whole society, and especially men, we're so focused on sex is about ejaculation. There is a clear goal. And if you tell guys like, oh, you shouldn't ejaculate, it's mind-blowing for most guys, and also for most women, because most women value themselves and their sexuality on how well they make the men ejaculate. And if a woman don't make the man ejaculate, it's pretty common for women then to feel inadequate as lovers. So just this, like, also for practical example.
And for women as well. We are also chasing orgasm. I can remember that I was getting angry if I wouldn't have one.
Yeah, you were angry.
I was walking like a duck, like through the flat.
Yeah.
Because I was so angry that I couldn't get a release. I think it was a kind of release for me.
Yeah, no, it's a release for everybody, right? It's just that we're not used to talk about how to get into our heart. We're really focused on the release part, on the sexual part. So for me, Tantra has just been like a beautiful journey of like self-acceptance, of self-love, of loving the other. And really, yes, I said, really just dropping into what is, to what's alive in me, what's alive in my partner. Or if you do Tantra in a group setting and it's less sexual and more about connection, then what's alive with the group, what's alive in this dynamic, in this meeting. And I think this is what draws people in to Tantra, because we all say like we're interested in sex, and we all say like, oh, we're excited and think stuff sounds interesting. But people don't come to Tantra for the sex. We all long to feel connection. I think that's our deepest, deepest longing and need as humans, to feel connected. So beyond the sex, beyond the sexual release, beyond the orgasm, beyond all the chakras and all the other technical stuff and all the meditation and all the blah, 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 like what we all long for is connection. And I think that's why Tantra has a big surge of interest today, and is being rediscovered in the West, and is practicing this neo-tantric way, because it's really allowing people to feel connection to themselves and to the partner and to others. And it's such a blessing to feel this acceptance, this connecting, this allowing of what is in me, of others, and especially in the sexual place where we usually have so many ideas.
What would you say was the most emotionally moving experience, situation you had in your journey?
One of my favorite experiences in Tantra was I came in for the like sexual part, and I'm very heterosexual, and it was about becoming a better lover, and it was very much about firstly my ego. I wanted to be able to meet women in a deeper way and give them orgasm in a deeper way. So it was very like ego-based for me to become a better lover and to feel good with myself. A part which was really interesting for me as a man was actually connecting with other men in this tantric way, doing eye gazing or hugging or doing sensual exploration with other men. That was really strong and powerful. And we have such a homophobic culture generally. And as men, we grow up fearing other men. We either fear being, we either homophobic, or we fear like violence or bad things for other men. So we have a lot of fear. It's a lot of fear between men, and women doesn't have that in the same way. There is rivalry, of course, in both sexes, but I think we have a very strong fear with men. So for me, it was really beautiful and strong and heart-opening having this like intimacy with other men that wasn't so sexual. It was more like sensual and flowing and like dancing and eye gazing and long eye contact and sharing from the heart and hugging each other and like being there and holding each other in this nurturing and loving and connecting way. So that was a strong experience for me. At like festivals and events I went, I was like, oh, in the beginning, like, oh, we'll go to these tantra festivals and tantra events, and I will eye gaze with all the beautiful and pretty girls, and I will have like a lot of fun sexual experiences, and you know, and it became, and it ended up like that not being the most interesting part, the beautiful girls. It was because I have experience from being with pretty girls before, but it's really, I had zero experience from melting together with men in this deeper way. So that was an unexpected and fun, very, very strong experience for me. And now I started working with men's group and doing mm-hmm. the men's stuff much more because I really interested in that part and want to dive deeper. Just
was there because of first these experiences. A spark of shame or awkwardness in the beginning?
Yeah, it was a lot of awkwardness. I went to like this workshop mm-hmm. and I didn't know what it was. It was a man workshop. And then the facilitator, the instructor told us to just find another man that we don't know. So we were like 100 men and stand before them and just start eye gazing and just start slowly like caressing and touching each other's face. So we were standing there and touching each other's face with the man I didn't know. I touched his beard and then he told us to lie down and just start hugging each other. And like holding each other, you know, belly to belly, lying on a mattress. So I'm lying there with this man that I don't know. We're touching each other's faces. I touching his beard. It's like touching my father or something. It felt weird. I'm not used to this kind of intimate way of connecting mm-hmm. and touching another man. So we were there for a while, just eye gazing. And then he told us to each couple to go and hook up with another couple. So suddenly we were four dudes lying on a mattress, like all touching each other. I don't know these guys, right? So we're lying on this mattress, touching each other. And it's really like beautiful. And one guy starts crying because it, I don't know, he got so much tension that's probably just got like released, like, oh, just relaxing in being in this way. And then we all just like, it's ended up with the instructor just putting a high music on and we all threw away our shirts and just dancing together and hugging each other and people crying. And it was just like a beautiful melting together of a lot of pretty masculine dudes that suddenly just like melted together and opened their heart. And it was, that was like, yeah, strong and one of my first like encounters of connecting with men in this kind of way.
I also think it's beautiful that you also focus on this, on the men groups. What do you think is the most common difficulties men struggle with? I mean, I'm pretty familiar with the women stuff because I am one, and so it's a lot of, I mean, a lot of my workshops are about femininity and goddesses, tantric goddesses. So I'm very familiar with the feminine part. And of course, I do have male friends, but I would be so interested in what you think is the most common challenge men have to face.
I think the challenge I see with men is really, it's really holding space for their own femininity, mm-hmm. for their own feminine qualities and sides. And usually in Tantra, we speak like the masculine is Shiva and should hold space for the feminine, like holding, being the holder. And I think it's hard. And women get frustrated when they feel like the man can't hold the space for them or hold their emotion. Or if you're emotional woman or something, then you want a strong man that can be able to hold yourself, and then you get frustrated. And then so in the tantric scene, I hear a lot of people like talking about that men, that the tantric practices that men should step in further into their masculine part so they can hold themselves and the woman. And but what I see is men cannot connect to the feminine side, and I think it's very hard to become this great lover or become this great holder of the feminine if you as a man yourself cannot connect and hold your own feminine parts and connect to this softer, flowing, loving qualities that we say is the feminine. So the flowy, the energy, the softness. So I think that's a big work, and that's what I want, for example, to do in my when I'm working with men, is really not so much connecting to to our strong warrior archetypes. It's more about, because that I think we all can play with that, and that's of course also it's a good work, but really connecting to the softness, being that it's okay to cry, that it's okay to be small, that it's okay to be held. And if you're okay with that, then you can also, if you can hold yourself, right? And you can hold your inner child, if we're talking more like psychology terms, if you can hold your inner child, then you probably can hold someone else's inner child too. But if you're not familiar with holding yourself, you wouldn't be able to hold your partner either. At least that's like the way I'm thinking. So I think it's really, I think everything starts with yourself, right? Like, and sometimes in Tantra, because Tantra, you talk about this feminine and masculine, Shiva and Shakti, or like the yin and yang qualities. And you can easily forget that we're all just one person with both masculine and feminine. And we need to be whole and connect these two parts in ourselves. And not just focus. And it's easily to forget that, especially in the tantric scene, I feel like, because you divide men into the men, you go and play with the masculine, and women, you go and play with the feminine. And then we all, because we want to enhance polarity and these kinds of stuff. But you forget that we need to hold ourselves before we can. Yeah, we need both. And we're a whole person with both sides.
I think it's beautiful what you have said to hold yourself, to be able to hold another person. That touches me really a lot. I was also asking myself, what do you think are the main expectations men are confronted with when it comes to love making?
Well, I think it's the classical: men are supposed to be these good lovers, these strong lovers. They should take the woman, they should lead the woman, they should give her a lot of orgasm. They should, we have a lot, like I hear when, like I read also, on the internet, like when you ask men what do they want from sex, it's usually to be a good lover. It's a very ego thing, right? They want to be please women. We think like men are selfish and just want to ejaculate and just want to have their own pleasure. But usually when you speak to men, like the biggest longing is not so much the pleasure or having like a sexy woman. It's really to feel themselves adequate, to feel like good lovers, to feel like they are able to perform. So I think like we all have this pressure, and also that it's okay. I think like it's a beautiful practice. Like one thing that a beautiful exercise that I do in many of my workshops is, I call it holding baby. It's just like getting couples to one place, the baby like lies down as a baby, and the other partner just caress them and hold them. And to be able to be this small baby, to be this small like child, to be in this vulnerable, small held space, and just it's okay. And like we're all trying to perform, and especially as a man, you have all this idea like, oh, I want money and success and fame and power, and when I'm in bed, I'm gonna have a huge cock and fuck my girlfriend to endless orgasms, and you have like all this. And just like, oh, it's okay to relax and be this small, vulnerable. And I think that's an interesting play, an interesting exercise, and an interesting attitude to go into sex. And like, okay, how vulnerable can we be? How much can we drop the idea of sexiness, and how much can we drop the idea of performance, and just step into, okay, how vulnerable and small can I be? And maybe we can switch and play with that energy. Like, okay, now you can be the small one, and I can see if I can hold you. And then... I can be the small one, you can hold me. And that creates much more soft, vulnerable intimacy and connection than just playing out this stereotype type. I will be the deep feminine seductress and energy and Shakti, and I will just be so sensual and move my body and breathe, and men should be the strong holding space Shiva. Like, just stepping down into being vulnerable persons, yeah, again, to our inner child.
And also see the human, and you know, when I started to reflect about the whole topic, and it came so clear to me how rude it is to make so many jokes. As you know, when women are together, we are joking about our sex lives or the worst experience, not our, or men who can't find the clitoris or pick on it like they would knock a door. And I even wrote about it. And now some years later, I think this is so, I mean, I don't want somebody would talk about this about me. And I don't honor or haven't honored the being, the human who was with me, and to try it his best and to drop. And now I have the feeling that sometimes also I, as a woman, or some of my friends or in general women, have this, like, you need to show me now how good you are and prove yourself. And we don't help them in how to give us pleasure. We don't connect. We observe, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, this is such an important thing I want to stop, and I want to point out to you that it's, to see how many unconscious programming you have when it comes to intimacy, or not intimacy, just bodily encounterings, and how much you are driven off by ideas who might are not yours, but also to find out, okay, I've tried this, but it's not my thing. As I was with a man who was very feminine, and I could honor that he expressed this feminine side, but it also wasn't a turn on for me. And I think that's also okay to see him, to connect, but also to decide that's not my way of playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in general, I would wish that we would cut off more or destroy more boundaries or ideas, the aim for being a perfect lover, either as a man or a woman, and just play. I think the playfulness is missing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting and valid thoughts that you have. And we are very arrogant and judging in our ideas and how we meet people. And we all want to be accepted, like our deepest longing, like in every relationship that you fight, it's usually like, you don't accept me totally. Yeah, maybe I am sensitive, or maybe I have this fuck up or that issue or whatever. I want to be accepted fully. I know this is my personal wish. Mm. Like when I fight with my girlfriends, like, I want you to accept me as I am. I want you to accept me as I am. Like, that's like my deal. Like if I, I go under, like what we're fighting, like I feel like she's not accepting something with me, and I want her to accept me. So that's why usually I say when I fight, more or less, with my partners. And then I got to realize, like, okay, but how much do I accept them for how they are? Like, I find usually the girlfriends I've been with to be like sensitive, and I like say, judge them, like, oh, you're so sensitive, chill, relax, you know, you don't need to. Like, how much do I like accept their sensitivity? How much do I really like be in this acceptance? So we all long to be accepted, but we very little accept the others, right? So it's a fun paradox. And in sex, we just want to melt and feel this connection. And I think like it's more important to really drop all these ideas, as we talked about, and see, okay, how much acceptance, how much can we just be with each other? Okay, now this guy is feminine, or this woman is, and then you can play, and then you can change, and just like, okay, it's not so, I don't know, for me, it's become like that sex, it's not so important. It's really the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say I'm not get horny and just want to like fuck, but
I was wondering, do you have this as well still? So that you're, because sometimes you just want to fuck.
No, of course. I want to fuck.
Or can you only do sex in a neo-tantric way? Or does it switch and change?
No, it's switch and chain. It's a play, mm-hmm. and you go in and out from like intimacy. And but I think what's interesting, of course, like I want to fuck and have this animalistic mm-hmm. fucking and not just have this eye gazing meditation kind of slow
sex. I'm so
sex.
Curious if this podcast will be blocked because we said like 100 times fucking.
People yeah. see. Okay. So you can say a peep every time I say fucking. So, I think it's what Tantra just gave me, like simply put, is just this attitude of being, of accepting, of connecting, and having this in the background and see how much can I like play and, mm-hmm. and have it in and out from flow. And even if you having a beep really hard, you can still have this attitude of connection, of mm-hmm. love, or something else. So it's not either you have this animalistic sex or you have this slow, connected, eye-gazing tantric sex. For me, tantra sex is really an attitude more than a special thing that you do. It's an attitude of accepting, of feeling what's alive in me, what's alive in the other, and just trying to melt together or being in your heart. And or simply put, as I started with, just finding this connection, shared connection and intimacy, and playing with that and exploring that, and not to be so focused on, okay, how sexy is she? Does she have sexy lingerie? Does she moan like a porn star? Or does he take me like a real raw man? And does he give me an orgasm or not right now? Or does he find my clitoris or not? Like all this stuff is less important. And just like, how can we connect? How can we find deeper intimacy mm-hmm. in this shared moment? Yeah.
That's beautifully said. What would be your recommendation if you just for the listeners, how to start connecting?
So my recommendations, if you want to try out Neo Tantra and get started with it, is just to start thinking about the attitude of connection and intimacy. And having that as a priority in any meeting, and you can have this priority with your work colleagues or with your family and friends or with your lover also. And that in a practical way means trying at least, you know, having like the attitude. It's a practice, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be perfect, but trying to leave the judgment or the need to perform. It's like when I meet friends, I can be in like this judging performance base. I'm like, okay, do we actually have an interesting or deep conversation, or are we just having a shallow? I'm very much judging all the time, life and situation. I'm judging my friends. Okay, oh, they're just talking about the boring job. Let's talk about something deep and interesting like Tantra. Let's, right? Instead of just, okay, now we're having a maybe not so deep conversation, and that's okay too. So how can I shift to a more intimate attitude of a more accepting and less judging attitude? And having this attitude, you can have generally in life, and you can also translate it and take it with you to your bedroom and to your sexual experiences. And like, okay, how can we be now in a meeting? How can we facilitate the meeting or just be in attitude? Let's start having sex and exploration, but not try to perform pleasure and orgasm to each other, and not try. I don't need to perform and be the masculine, and don't need to try to be the feminine. And we can just like meet and just relax and just play, as you said, playfulness. And so just shifting the attitude. I think that's the first thing to do. And there's a lot of like practices you can try to eye gaze. You can try to breathe together. You can do a check-in, sharing from the heart. Like, okay, what am I most afraid of in this moment? What are you most afraid of in this moment? What is my desires? Just having like talking through your sexual experience and having a conscious communication. And you can have sex with eye gazing. There's a lot of like practical stuff you can start with. But the main idea, the core idea would be to just go in with this shift of attitude, of a new attitude of just of being there for each other. How much intimacy and love and empathy can I feel for myself and for you, my lover, in this moment? And how much can you do the same for yourself and for me? And not being this judging, this judging performance based mentality. And it's okay if nobody have an orgasm, and it's okay if you don't even have sex and you're just lying naked and holding each other. And it's okay even if you feel empty. I hate it in this kind of spiritual or tantric stuff, when you think that you need to feel so much love, because it's all based about opening to love and spirituality, you don't need to find a connection to God. You don't need to find a connection to yourself or to your partner. If you feel empty, that's okay too. Just relax into that. So going from like this contracted state, going from contraction to expansion and relaxing into what is. And starting with that, and this can feel like, okay, but I think like we have so much resistance. So it can take it a couple of times to play with this attitude before you maybe can really drop into to a being more of going into your head and starting the ideas of what you should do.
Thank you so much. There were so many inspirational things and so many inspirational tips for how to start. I so much like the idea of first sharing what we are most afraid of when we,
yeah,
before it's I want to try this.
Yeah, that's like number one tantra sex recommendation, mm-hmm, is to start with sharing. And there's three good questions you can start with. Mm-hmm. Intention, fears, and desires. So what is my intention for this moment? Fears, what are my desires? And what are my fears? Mm-hmm. And that's usually, it's a good way to open up and start feeling more connected.
Thank you so much. So if people want to study further with you or want to explore, Nathaniel from Sweden, I would love to hear, listen, and see more or study with him. How can they explore you?
So yeah, my name is Nathaniel Goldman. You can find me at social media, Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And also I run something called Tantra Journey, and the website is tantrajourney.co. And we have a lot of resources about Tantra. We just released a new online course about the modern tantra for modern lovers. So if you're a beginner and just want to learn how to start your tantric journey, you can take an online course about it. And we have online workshops on Zoom, and we have a lot of stuff going on, and you can join that on Tantra Journey.
Perfect. I will put the link in the description.
Great.
All right. Great. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Sandra. Pleasure to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Das war eine neue Folge von House of Grace. Ich hoffe, diese Episode hat dir gefallen, und falls das der Fall gewesen ist, freue ich mich sehr, wenn du zum Beispiel auf Apple Podcast eine Bewertung hinterlassen würdest. Und vielleicht hast du ja auch Lust, House of Grace zu folgen. Das kannst du zum Beispiel bei Spotify, Apple Podcast oder dieser tun. Mich persönlich, Sandra von Zaubjenski, findest du auf Instagram. Den Link dazu gibt es in den Shownotes. Und ich freue mich riesig über Feedback, Kommentare, Anregungen, auch per E-Mail an podcast@house-of-grace.de. Alles Liebe, eure Sandra.